Big show for you here today. It is the first episode of our Flip the Script series. We've got Justin Boone in the saddle as we discuss who is going to be this year's George Pickens. Yes, who are the receivers that are going outside the top 20 that could potentially sneak their way into the top five if all the situations break right? Plus, Boone and I react to the AJ Brown trade. Where are we ranking him? Where are we ranking Devontae Smith? All that and more coming up on today's show. Boone June begins. Let's get into it. What's going on, everyone? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is our guy, my friend, the wonderful, look at the company man with the Yahoo Fantasy hat on. Look at that. It's our guy, Justin Boone. Boone, what's going on, man?
Well, there is a reason why I'm wearing the hat today. I had a great weekend. Once a year, me and my buddies from high school, from university, we get a big group of guys together. This year, we had, I think, the most ever, like 14, 15 guys. Was awesome. Was great catching up. And I finally got some sun, Harmon. The only problem is I can't find the middle ground, man. It's either I'm Casper the Friendly Ghost white, or I am red and peeling. And after I showered today, that's exactly what happened. I look like I was a snake coming out of my skin. So we're throwing the hat on. We're hiding most of that. But yes, also being a company man along the way.
Well, I am sorry to hear that. But my brother-in-law once said to me, which I'm sure this is not good health advice, you got to burn it to earn it in relation to the tan. So, you know, like I said, I don't think that's good health advice. I'll send you the link to my face sunscreen, the Korean sunscreen that I use on the face. I don't know if you're doing the Korean sunscreen just yet. But trust me, it will change your life. You will never have the red face again. I burn everywhere else, never burn on the face. Shout out to the Korean and the hands too, because obviously you're doing it on the hands. That's definitely, nobody cares about that. All right, Boone. Nobody cares about my Korean sunscreen takes here, but I will send you the link privately, off air.
You've told me a few products over the year here that I've worked for Yahoo. You've told me a few products, and I normally just go, oh, whatever, Harmon, whatever. I think I do need to start listening to you, because it might solve a few problems that I've had over the year.
I don't know a lot about everything, but I know a lot about a little, okay? So, like, the skincare stuff, thanks to my wife exclusively, I do know a lot about the skincare stuff. Anyways, definitely no one came to this show to hear the skincare breakdown. What they did come here to hear is that we are kicking off our Flip the Script series, as we do every single summer here on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. This is the first time, though, that Boone is going to be in the saddle for this one. The series, if you're unfamiliar, if you're new, shout out. Thank you for joining us. We try to identify this year's kind of big surprises by looking back at last year's big surprises. Essentially, like, who's going to be this version of last year's this? It's a little bit tongue in cheek, Boone, honestly, when I came up with the idea a few years ago, because I kind of think this type of analysis is a little silly, but it's June. This is the time to be a little silly here on the podcast. But sure. And not everything just like copy and paste from last year. That's not really how this works. However, it does give us some good parameters, some guidelines to try to make some of our predictions for the upcoming season. So for this one, we're going to try to look at who is going to be this year's George Pickens, essentially a wide receiver going outside the top 20 wide receivers in ADP that can finish top five. Spoiler alert, probably none of them are going to do it, but we're at least going to try to see if any of them have a pathway to doing it. But before we do that, somehow June has become a massive news month. June 1st, now a massive day of news in the NFL calendar. That's where we're at this point. We had two ginormous trades to talk about, some fantasy fallout here. One of them obviously bigger than the other. Of course, Myles Garrett went to the Los Angeles Rams, but the other trade that impacts our lives from a fantasy standpoint, AJ Brown finally traded to the New England Patriots. The Patriots get A.J. Brown in the deal. The Eagles get a 2028 first-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. Boone, I have admittedly talked so much, written so much, spoken so much about this trade. Even though we all knew it was coming, I've still somehow talked about it way too much over the last 3 days. So I am really curious, and I think the people are probably much more curious to hear what you think about this deal and what it means from all sides in fantasy. But let's start first on the Patriots side with AJ Brown. What do you think about this?
I'm cautiously optimistic, I think is probably the right way to put it, at least for redraft anyway. I think Dynasty, and this might be controversial, but I think in Dynasty, this might be an opportunity to try to sell him high. He is an older receiver. He's going to be 29 this year. It, depending where your team is at, if you're a contender this season, maybe a hang. But if you're not, or if you don't feel like you have all the pieces you need on your squad, I think this is an opportunity to move him because I don't know how much he does have left in the tank. I think he could have one really good year. And right now I'm ranking him as such. I still have him ranked as a low end wide receiver one. I think he could come through in a big way. I think he's the kind of guy who is going to be motivated with the fresh start, want to show everybody that last year and really the last couple seasons were just kind of blips on the radar. And he still does have enough left in the tank that he is one of the top wideouts. But I don't think we're talking about him as an elite guy anymore. I think he is going to fall into this offense, into a role that they really needed to fill. And it's not that he's the same kind of receiver as Stephon Diggs, but he can be that alpha that they need. He can be that receiver for Drake May. And he's getting a big time quarterback upgrade in terms of the fact that Drake May is a much better downfield passer. Drake May is going to take more shots downfield. I think that's going to do well for Brown. But there's a lot of question marks here too, Harmon. Like, I think last year during the season, we were talking about this guy. Was he even the best receiver on his team still? That Devonta Smith was the better fantasy play, at least for some of those weeks in the second half of the season. There's some concerns about potentially his knee. Is that going to be an issue moving forward? Or is that just other teams that didn't get the deal done, throwing that out there as perhaps a reason why they didn't ultimately get that deal done? So I think there's some reasons to be concerned in terms of his age, in terms of, you know, the injury, that sort of thing. But he's going to get a lot of volume in this offense. And like I said, I do still think he has enough left in the tank to step in there and put up really good numbers. I think it's unfortunate for the rest of the pass catchers in New England because I think Romeo Doubs, I did not have high hopes. I did not think we were going to end the offseason with him as the number one receiver in that offense. But this just pushes him back down to the role that we have been used to him serving in Green Bay, right, with the Packers. And that's a wide receiver four flex, kind of a boomer bust type guy. He'll have his games where he finds the end zone a couple times, but week to week, not really going to be that excited to have him in my lineup as a consistent starter. So I think, and past that, there's not much in this receiver core other than Hunter Henry, who himself is kind of like a high-end tight end too. So in terms of all those guys, I'm not really interested in them for fantasy. I will draft AJ Brown, and I don't know if we want to jump to the Eagles stuff, but I kind of like Devonta Smith a little better this year, Harmon. I don't know if that's a controversial take or not, but I would rather draft Devonta Smith, especially because he's going about a round later in ADP than Brown is.
Yeah, let's put a pin in the Devonta Smith thing because I want to come back to that for sure. But just to kind of jump back at the very part of where you ended it there with the New England Patriots was, I think they have a lot of collection of interesting receivers and pass catchers and offensive weapons here, but yeah, they didn't have like one main guy, right? And in theory, that is what AJ Brown should be. And look, like I said, we've known this trade was coming for a long time. My rankings and my dynasty rankings, my redraft rankings have reflected the fact that Devonta Smith was going to be Eagles wide receiver one and AJ Brown was going to be the Patriots wide receiver one. Like we've known this was coming for a minute now. So I don't think there should be some like massive market shift one way or another, because this is pretty much been set in stone for quite some time. I like the way that you began this with, like, it really matters on your expectations for AJ Brown. I don't think that the Patriots are expecting to get peak prime AJ Brown. I don't think that we should expect to see peak prime AJ Brown with the New England Patriots. If that was the case, they would have traded like a first and a third, and there wouldn't be some of these, you know, medical concerns, right? And when I say that we don't expect peak prime AJ Brown, like, Boone, peak prime AJ Brown is a top three receiver in the NFL. That's who he's been. Correct. Over the last, over basically the on balance of his entire career. From 2020 to 2024 in reception perception, Brown averaged a 78.9% success rate versus man coverage and an 83% success rate versus press. If you're not familiar with RP numbers, those are like legitimately elite. Even 2024, he led the NFL, all players I charted, in success rate versus man coverage. But we did see a dip pretty much across the board last year, specifically on his ability to separate on downfield routes. Now, again, because I've talked about this a bajillion times. I wrote about it in his RP profile, so I won't kind of stretch it out here. His numbers were better in the first half of year, half of the year than the second half of the year from a reception perception standpoint. And like I saw Dwayne McFarland point this out, and this is definitely true. Like he had the hamstring injury in the first half of the year. He set out the game before the bye. Then they had the bye week. He comes back, and even statistically, he was much better down the stretch. Even still, though, the player that he was in the back half, I still think was a step down from elite AJ Brown, but still a very good AJ Brown. So that's always the difficult part with receiver decline, Boone, is that sometimes we see these guys, you know, you just mentioned Stephon Diggs. He's been a great example of this, that I think he was in decline in his final year in Buffalo and then still has kind of like aged gracefully, right? Like he's still been a very useful player for the Texans and a yeah. really, really good player for the Patriots last year. Sometimes you see that. Other times, you know, to bring up a situation that I, longtime listeners to this podcast know, I got absolutely wrong, was like Allen Robinson with the LA Rams. By the way, in his age 29 season, with a long history of lower body injuries, just like AJ Brown, which is why I think this risk is important to just acknowledge here. There were some signs of decline his final year in Chicago. I was like, ah, you know, he wasn't happy in Chicago. You know, he wasn't happy with the situation. You know, he was looking for a new contract, didn't get it. By the way, a lot of the same stuff that people will point out about AJ Brown, like, was he giving full effort the whole deal? There was a decline in his RP numbers. I kind of like hand waved it and thought he'd be fine with the Rams. He was not fine with the Rams. Dez Bryant, another example. Like when it was over for Dez. So I don't think that's what's going to happen with Brown. I actually think there are ways that the Patriots can use him to get like a better version of that. But that's just the question here. Like, is the decline going to be a graceful one to where I kind of will still probably have him ranked around wide receiver 15, 16? Ish, like I'm not going to say he's going to be terrible this year, but I think you do have to just acknowledge those risks as you're kind of analyzing and ranking him for the season.
Yeah, I still have him at wide receiver 11, like I said, low end wide receiver one, but I think you make a really good point there, right? It's been a minute since we've seen him truly dominating. And when you talk about that fresh start and that added motivation, when he went to Philly, he had that, but he was a younger receiver at the time, right? This is not the same guy. And when he got to Philly the first couple seasons, over 1,400 yards both those years. The last couple of years just barely broke 1,000 yards. You know, we've seen him have 7 touchdowns. You know, each of the last 3 seasons hasn't eclipsed that mark. He's the kind of guy that I think should be scoring double-digit touchdowns every year. So you don't love to see that. Now, could that completely change with the Patriots and getting an upgraded quarterback and all that stuff? Yes, absolutely. And I will say, too, I was kind of down on Stephon Diggs last season, in part because he was coming off the injury, and yet they played it very smart. They kind of eased him along in the early going of the season, and they got really the most out of him. So I think the Patriots organization is a smart one. I think they will use Brown the right way. They will get the most out of him. And could he improve on the kind of numbers that Diggs put up last year? Absolutely. Diggs had 4 touchdowns last year. Like, even if Brown comes in and puts up 7 touchdowns, that's going to bump him up. And last year, you know, Diggs was the wide receiver 18 in fantasy points per game from week 4 on. I'm killing those first 3 weeks where they kind of just eased him in a little bit. We're not going to count those because that's just going to bump down his production there. So yeah, I think this is a good spot for him. I think he does have something left in the tank, and I think he's going to be able to produce for fantasy. But like I said, would I be shocked if as the season goes along, he starts to fade a little bit? Would I be shocked if next year he has a big drop off? Not at all, because I think we're at that point in his career where all those things are coming at some point soon. Just how fast are they going to arrive?
Yeah, right. I mean, the Patriots traded a 2028 first round pick. Like, would it be shocking if AJ Brown is not on the roster when the Eagles are theoretically making that pick? Like, I don't think so, just because of the area of he is in his career. And like Jeff Mueller does a great job on Twitter pointing, he's been pointing this out for basically like a year now. AJ Brown has been dealing with this knee situation for a long time. He had an interview AJ Brown did after they won the Super Bowl, where he talked about like he was getting that thing drained twice a week before every game in the year that they won the Super Bowl. So like, that is, again, these are the things that can push a receiver closer to the cliff than like it kind of it should seem. And again, he's only 29 years old. Like, theoretically, he should have a long way to go. But some of these bigger body, like power-based receivers, I know that's why the Rams were concerned. As you said, it could just be like they're putting that out there because they didn't get the trade done, the whole deal. But whatever. Last point just on this, you mentioned like using him right. And I do think the Diggs thing is instructive here, because Diggs for the Patriots last year was like a slot Z-based receiver. And last time that Mike Vrabel and AJ Brown were together long time ago, 2021 NFL season. Julio Jones was the Titans' X receiver, and Brown took a career high snaps off the line of scrimmage, in the backfield, like in motion, kind of as that Z option. So, and with Romeo Doubs there, like I don't know why like Brown has to be the X and Doubs has to be the guy that moves. Like, what if it's Doubs because he was playing X with the Packers last year? Like Kyle Williams was a sacrificial X receiver when he played last year. Kayshon Booty was a sacrificial X. We'll see if he's on the roster, but that part makes me pretty optimistic about how they could use Brown. But I do want to talk about Devontae Smith in Philadelphia. You said you have, I was honestly kind of hoping we would disagree on this, but we actually have it the same. I also have Devontae Smith ranked ahead of AJ Brown this year, and I would draft Smith ahead of Brown. So kind of unpack why you have it ranked that way, Boone.
I mean, I think he's just been one of these players that's been really overqualified for the position that he's been in. I think he could have been a number one receiver in an offense for a long time here, and yet the Eagles had this just like amazing group of talented players. You can even look at a guy like Dallas Goedert at tight end, who when you'd see either AJ Brown or Smith or both those guys injured and missing time, all of a sudden Dallas Goedert shows you what he can do and has these absolute monster games, right? Because I think Dallas Goedert's the type of tight end that could be a top five fantasy asset if he had ever been in an offense where he was, you know, the number one or number two target getter, like we see with some of these guys like Brock Bowers and Trey McBride and whatnot. So I think Smith is kind of in that situation where now he's finally going to get this opportunity. He's really in his prime. He's shown that, and it's a small sample size, of course, but he's shown that when Brown has missed time in the past, he can get it done, right? There's been five games over the last few seasons here where Brown has missed. And what's happened with Smith? He's averaged 9 targets a game and 88 yards per game. He has been fantastic for fantasy during those games. And on top of that, he's been good for fantasy regardless. Like, I don't think we should act like this is like, you know, just an average receiver. He's been like a top 20 fantasy receiver many times in his career already. He can do this. And to look at him now and go, is it that much of a stretch for him to jump 5 to 10 spots in, you know, potential fantasy finishes? I don't think so. So I think he belongs up there in that conversation with those guys, kind of the back end of the wide receiver one range, where there's a bunch of guys. We're going to talk about George Pickens as the show goes on here. Like, there's a bunch of guys in that range that all kind of have some red flags. So I don't think it's that crazy to bump Smith above those guys and to potentially, even though he has some red flags, bump AJ Brown above those guys as well.
Yeah, the funny thing about this show and how we're doing the like this year's George Pickens, I actually think Devontae Smith is a great candidate as a guy that would theoretically be hovering around, like you, as you said, finish wise in the 20s ish, like kind of low end wide receiver two for most of his career, and then leaps up into the top five this year. He's actually a great candidate, but because, you know, you and I are going to rank him high and people already, again, knew this was coming and he's going to be the wide receiver one, he's not going to be available at that level of ADP. But I do like that you're probably ahead of consensus, at least right now, on Devontae Smith. I have him as my wide receiver 11. I do expect him to be better than AJ Brown this year. And it's for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned, that I do think he is, like I say this a lot, AJ Brown was number one in success rate versus man coverage back in 2024. For reception perception, you know, who's number two? Devontae Smith. Like, he's been like that guy, I think, for a minute now. So he's definitely someone I'm really excited for this season.
Yeah, and I think too, and we've talked about it on the show before, I think we're expecting a little more from this passing attack this year with Sean Manning coming in and being the OC. I think the passing attack is going to get a little upgrade, so you're combining Brown moving out of the way and that passing attack potentially getting a little better. And some of his competition, while I really like Mekhi Lemon, I really like Eli Stowers, we're not sure how fast those guys are going to step into these roles and really be major contributors, right? I think that they're both going to be really good players. But we see already, right? Mekhi Lemon missing some of OTAs. He's got, I believe, a hamstring issue. And it's not that he can't be healthy for training camp and pick up from there and start the season strong. But we've often seen when rookies get these injuries in the offseason and the ramp up to their first year, it can delay their progress and it can kind of slow down them becoming the player that they're eventually going to become. And sometimes we don't see that until a month into the season or in the second half of the season. So we know that Devontae Smith is very good. We know that he can be the number one in this offense. We've seen him do it in small sample sizes. So, yeah, I'm really excited to get him. And on top of the fact, like I mentioned, you're getting him cheaper than AJ Brown. You're getting him in the third round or a little bit later, which I think is just an excellent value.
No question about it. I agree with you. And good point on Mekhi Lemon. Even though these OTAs, I love how Dan Campbell described it at the podium. I believe it was last week. He said, "I'm not really too concerned about the pajama party in May." I thought that was great. I had to use it on the show at least once. So shout out to Dan Campbell for that one. But again, the other part just to note is I hate when rookies miss like any time at receiver in the offseason. So not that that means, Mekhi Lemon is going to start slow or anything, but just something to monitor. I love that Devontae Smith can live in both worlds, like the old Eagles offense that's a little more static, spread and shred, which is what Jalen Hurts likes to do. He can obviously live in that world, but also if they're going to do like more big in-breaking routes off play action under center stuff is what I imagine Sean Mannion and the crew wants to do. Devontae Smith can crush it in that world too. So yeah, we are going to be a very pro Devontae Smith podcast this offseason. Just on the Rams trading for Myles Garrett really quickly, Boone, I know we're a fantasy podcast, but it's probably the most insane trade maybe in NFL history. I don't mean to be dramatic here, but he's literally the reigning defensive player of the year going to a team that was already the Super Bowl favorite. So I'm not sure that there's like a fantasy fallout here from this one, other than the Browns defense is probably going to be worse than it usually is without Myles Garrett, which maybe brings more passing volume to these guys over there. I don't know if you've had any thoughts on this, but I just at least wanted to give you a chance to riff on it because it is an insane trade. So any quick thoughts on this?
I think we were already expecting the passing attack to be a little bit better just because of some of the upgraded weapons that they're going to have there. So I don't want to double count that. I don't want to overcount that stuff too much and start to expect that the Browns passing attack is going to be unreal in any way. I think just giving them a little upgrade in the projections is more than enough and will factor in the better talent and the defensive change, obviously, there. I think for me, the only real takeaway here is you're going to want that Rams defense, right? I've moved them up to the defense number three, basically in competition with the Seahawks for the second defense spot at the Texans number one. But the other interesting thing here is the talk that, hey, if Aaron Donald comes back, even if Aaron Donald comes back and just, you know, plays third downs or something like that, if that happens, now this is the best defense, and this is right up there with the Texans, and this is going to be a unit that you absolutely have to go get. Maybe we even draft a little bit higher than I normally recommend, you know, when I always say don't take a defense until the last round or two. Maybe we would actually spend up and get that defense because, yeah, it would be an unbelievable group at that point. But no, not too much to take away from this one, other than the fact that I kind of think just this made sense for both teams. I don't think Garrett was happy in Cleveland. Like, I think, you know, he signs the deal. They don't make that big step. I don't think he wanted to spend the rest of his career in that, like, you know, perpetual rebuilding phase. So he gets out of there. He goes to contender, and Cleveland gets a chance to use some of those picks and get a pretty good player in return, where now maybe they can fill some of those holes and start to move in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's right on essentially everything you said there. I said this on Football 301 with Nate Tice yesterday, that I thought this was such a win-win trade for both sides. So really makes a lot of sense there. Lastly, Odell Beckham Jr. signed with the New York Giants. The Giants also signed Braxton Berrios also signed with the team. Juju Smith-Schuster signed with the team. My one thing just on OBJ, look, I have no idea what he's going to do this year. I will just always say, I mean, he is one of the biggest what-if stories in NFL history. His start to his career was unbelievably unreal. In reception perception, he still owns two of the top four success rate versus man coverage season. His rookie season, that was 2014, is the first year I did reception perception. It's still the best success rate versus press coverage season I've ever charted. Like, it should have been a legendary career. Those were many, many years ago. It's been a long time since he's been that guy. I don't think there's like a OBJ take here. I think, Boone, if I have to guess, you're probably one thought on this is like just still more not ideal news for our guy Malik Nabers here, that the team feels the need to sign three receivers. I know they needed to replace Gunnar Olszewski, special teamer. That's probably like the Braxton Berrios of this. But by the way, none of these guys could make all these guys might not make the roster. You know, they also have Darnell Mooney. They also have Calvin Austin, Malachi Fields as well. But yeah, a lot of bodies at the receiver position, except one who is very, very important to the team. Any thoughts on the Giants receiver transactions?
The OBJ thing, it's a fun story. We'll be rooting for him. I really hope early in the season, because I think at this point I'm projecting Nabers is going to miss time. I think with all the moves that they made, initially I was just worried that he might not be 100%. I think now it's going in the direction where it wouldn't shock me at all if he misses the first month of the season or something like that, potentially even more. But yeah, we're going to keep monitoring that one. A lot of the things are lining up here, though, when you see him at charity softball game kind of hobbling around, when we see even more moves.
Yeah.
We were worried about him when they were out here getting Darnell Mooney and Isaiah Likely and Calvin Austin. Now they're signing just anybody off the scrap heap. And I don't want to be rude. You're giving OBJ like a lifetime achievement award here for everything he's done. It's awesome. It was a cool career, even though it might not have been the career that we could have gotten from him. But his name value is just so much bigger than what his fantasy impact is going to be this year. And
of course,
just worry that, you know, casual fantasy players are going to come back in the summer and they're going to start to draft and they're going to see that name later in their draft and they're going to go, oh my God, I can grab Odell Beckham and put him on my bench. And what if he's still Odell Beckham? Like, the guy is going to be 34 years old this year. Yes, he has some moments. You're going to see practice highlights. You're going to see some cool catches. I think the best we could hope for is if Malik Nabers misses the opening month, he gets out there, he catches a couple touchdowns, their highlights, everybody gets excited. He gets that kind of victory tour, and that's probably going to be it. Once Nabers comes back, as long as he's anything close to healthy, they're going to go with these guys. They have a bunch of other guys that are better than Odell Beckham at this phase of his career. And I know we have the graphic here where Beckham's on the starting lineup.
Right.
I hate to say it, he's probably not going to be on the starting lineup, right? I think that Malachi Fields would hold that spot with Darnell Mooney and with Calvin Austin, because the other thing about this is Darius Slayton is also hurt. He's been a guy that's been with the Giants for a long time.
Good point.
He's been a good contributor. He's probably not going to be available. So they did have to go out and get a bunch of pieces. This is a really fun one, but in terms of fantasy impact, I've picked him up at a couple places on very deep dynasty leagues, like 14 team roster, you know, 34 man, like that sort of thing. But other than that, I'm not taking him, not even in best balls, like a late round pick. I just don't see it. And if I'm wrong about that, if I'm wrong about the 34-year-old receiver coming in and making a big splash, I'll be the first one to just admit that and clap for him and be excited that I'm not too worried about him making a big fantasy impact this year.
Oh, yeah. Anything that Beckham gives us this year, like, I don't need to be invested in that from a fantasy standpoint. Like, I'll find joy in it because it's awesome. Like, I don't need a level of investment on my fantasy. Honestly, same with AJ Brown, to bring it back to that. Like, I wrote this in the piece that I did for Yahoo. I desperately hope I'm wrong about any concern, and I hope he is like top three AJ Brown, and like I will find a lot of joy in that. Like, that's how you access your happiness beyond like fantasy football stuff here, I guess. But yeah, so if Beckham does anything, that'd be awesome. But I think the big takeaway is just like, yeah, not continued bad news on Malik Nabers, who obviously I'm with you. I don't think he's going to be available at the start of the season, and frankly at this point, like, I'll be surprised if we get the best of Malik Nabers at all until 2027. I mean, it's just like that's where we're at with this very complicated knee injury.
I'm in the process of updating everything this week, and I put out my updated redraft rankings yesterday. I put out my updated dynasty trade value charts today. I even bumped him down in dynasty because I'm expecting that value is going to take a dip here because of the injury and because we're not going to see his best, at least early in the season. That's going to cause his value to drop a little bit. And at that point, we'll probably be yelling at everyone to go and try to trade for him in dynasty because I still expect a really good career. Let's hope that there's no situation here like Odell Beckham where we end up seeing, you know, Nabers not reach his best because of injury. But yeah, I think he's going to be back and fine eventually, but I think the value is going to drop before then. And right now in redraft, I'm just completely staying away. I don't even want to take chances. I'm not looking for an injury discount or anything like that with Nabers. I'm just looking at this season as potentially a lost one where maybe in the second half of the year we see him start to contribute. But is it going to be 100% back to form? I don't even feel that confident about him getting back to that. So it's just an unfortunate situation all around.
Yeah, 3 for 3 on like receiver takes here that I'm like desperately hope I'm wrong about. But I completely agree with basically everything you said there, that I don't even know that there is a spot right now where it makes sense to target Nabers at this point, outside of maybe best ball where you don't have to manage the rosters. But even that, it's pretty tough. There's just a lot of good receivers out there right now. All right, we are going to take our first quick break. And speaking of good receivers, on the other side of it, we're going to decide who's this year's George Pickens. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back, and as mentioned, it is our first edition of Flip the Script here. We're trying to identify who's going to be this year's George Pickens, and essentially, Boone, I think let's take a look back at what happened with George Pickens last year. He was outside the top 20 wide receivers in ADP for a long time. I think he was like wide receiver 30, wide receiver 29. Producer Colin has here that he finished wide receiver 22 ADP in the preseason. He finished as wide receiver 5 overall, wide receiver 6 in points per game. I will say he was the guy I had in my blueprint piece as the player I wanted in every single draft. I thought that he was a very easy target at wide receiver 22. I certainly did not see him finishing as wide receiver 5. Okay, let's be real here. I thought he was a great target there. Didn't think he was going to finish at wide receiver 5. There's a couple variables to consider. The first of which that we should admit is that CeeDee Lamb missing time obviously helped George Pickens push into the top 5 overall receivers. He was good regardless, but I had the stats included here for the 12 games that CeeDee Lamb played more than 45% of the snaps. That was weeks 1 and 2 and then 7 to 17. You can toss out week 18 because that was like a goofball thing. CeeDee Lamb led the team with a 26% target share. George Pickens was 22%. They were both around 13 points per game in those contests. The 4 games that CeeDee Lamb missed or played fewer than 45% of the snaps, Pickens had a 24% target share. Jake Ferguson actually was the big loser when Lamb was active because he went from a 23% target share without Lamb to 15%. And Pickens averaged 21 points per game in those contests. So that's a big part of why he jumped all the way to wide receiver 5. But that will kind of inform some of my analysis for some of these players. But yeah, George Pickens, that was a big part of why he was so great last year.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, in the 4 weeks that Lamb missed there, Pickens was the number one scoring fantasy receiver. Just absolutely obliterated it out there, was so good for fantasy, was still good the rest of the way, right? If you look at once Lamb got back in the lineup in week 7, Pickens was the wide receiver 12 in fantasy points per game the rest of the way. So still good, not necessarily top 5 or top 6, though. But yeah, I feel like this one was fairly easy, and you mentioned it. Pickens was in that group of receivers from round 5 to round 7 that we were just constantly targeting last offseason, and it was pretty straightforward. He was a talented receiver. He was going to a better offense, an offense that was going to throw the ball more than his last destination. He got a huge upgrade at quarterback with Prescott, and then he had Lamb miss some time, and it all came together for him to really show his stuff. Seemed pretty obvious. And now this year, I don't feel the same, Harmon. I still have a lot of worry about him now this season because of the contract issue, because of him not showing up to voluntary OTAs. That's where we start to get into maybe it's the other side of the coin now. Maybe we start to think that, George Pickens might have some issues this year that might bump him down, where last year it was wind at his back all the way. This guy's going to outproduce. I think now we're looking at him and going I'm not quite sure he's going to live up to where he's going in ADP at the moment.
Yeah, you definitely have to pay the iron price, to use a Game of Thrones term, to get George Pickens this year. Last year was the great year to target him. I don't know that he's necessarily a full-on fade for me. Obviously, let's see what happens over the course of the offseason in terms of when does he show up, the whole deal. I do, regardless, really Ryan Flournoy as a late best ball pick right now, because if something crazy happens with Pickens, or even if Lamb misses time again, a couple of the games were the Lions game that Lamb left early, the Jets game, he was absolutely crushing it. So I think he makes sense as a best ball pick, and then I think he has the talent to be a fringe receiver too if something happens here. But again, regardless, I think Pickens, we have a lot of time to talk about him over the course of the offseason. But you set some really good parameters there for how we can look forward and project to be who is this year's George Pickens. So with that, welcome to our first edition of Flip the Script. All right, so Boone set some really good parameters here on the George Pickens thing. And again, the rules for this, and Boone, there are strict rules, okay? There's strict rules with these with this exercise, okay? Because I take this very seriously. So the parameters here for this particular one is just like Pickens, they have to be going outside the top 20 receivers in current ADP. Can't be going too late because that's a totally different exercise. I also think that for this guy, there's got to be a change in circumstances here where with George Pickens, obviously big change in circumstances going from the Pittsburgh Steelers offense to the Dallas Cowboys offense, where not only was it a better quarterback, there was going to be way more passing volume because the defense wasn't as good. That's also part of the story too. The other thing I think that's important, like a kind of a qualitative variable here, is I think this player has to be like a known good player, right? Like, I think we all knew Pickens was good,
yeah,
but we didn't, not everybody acknowledged he was like top five receiver. Like, nobody thought like, oh, George Pickens secretly stinks. Like, no, he's, but at that point in his career, he had already kind of broken out with the Steelers, especially his final year there, I thought was really, really good in isolation. But then it's got to be like he's taken the step to producing above expectations. So a couple guys that like didn't make sense to me when we were going over candidates, like Mike Evans. Mike Evans is like too good for this exercise, or like Luther Burden, or, you know, those, he's too unproven, right? So the guy's kind of already had to have broken out a little, but like takes another leap here. So we've got a bunch of different candidates here. We've got DJ Moore, Ladd McConkey, Terry McLaurin, Jameson Williams, Jalen Waddle, Christian Watson, Marvin Harrison Jr. / Michael Wilson. So we will get three finalists. We'll vote on the award winner here to be crowned this year's George Pickens. So we have to come to consensus on this, Boone, as well. If not, producer Colin gets to break the tie. I don't know if you realize that Colin has a lot of power in this exercise here. So we will see if we
I'm
don't
just starting
come to a
worry,
consensus
man,
at the
three,
end.
Three finalists is going to be tricky. I think there's a lot of guys on these lists that I like, so I'm looking forward to talking them through here.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good candidates here. So let's start first with DJ Moore, Buffalo Bills wide receiver. I also think he's kind of pushing it for this exercise because he's so established in his career, but at least want to talk about him here. The new variable, of course, is he's playing for a new team, your team, the Buffalo Bills. Thoughts on DJ Moore as a potential George Pickens candidate?
My initial thought is that, and I said this to you already before the show, that ADP seems so strange to me, and I'm going to chalk it up to it's early in the process, and as the summer goes along and we get more people drafting and more mock drafts, we'll start to see that ADP, I think, move a little bit, because in a lot of best ball leagues right now, like, he's going off the board after the top 25 receivers. I have him ranked as the wide receiver 28, and I just look at him like a guy that's going to help Buffalo in real life, but not necessarily be that kind of league-winning piece like George Pickens was last year for fantasy. I mean, you look at Moore, he's 29 years old. He's seen the production decline, right? The target competition in Chicago got a little bit better. He got a little bit older, and he just wasn't that same guy anymore for fantasy. And you look at some of his best years of his career was when he was the dude, when he had to be that number one guy. And now in Buffalo, he's going to get that opportunity. So I like him as a wide receiver three, a wide receiver three with wide receiver two upside, but he's going to be that league winning piece? I don't think so. He still did show me enough last year, like in the second half of the season, you know, despite the signs of decline, he showed he still has that playmaking ability, had three top seven weekly fantasy finishes down the stretch. So he can still get it done. Won't be as consistent maybe as it used to be. The final stat line won't be as good, but he will have some big weeks. I worry that I think people are expecting a lot more because of what he's accomplished in his career, because now he's getting paired with Josh Allen. I think people are looking at him to be that answer, to be that number one receiver in the same way that Stephon Diggs was in this offense. And I just don't think he's that true alpha guy anymore, but he's still good. I'm not burying him completely. I think he will be a fine fantasy piece, just not somebody that I think you're looking at having that just absolute monster year for you.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense here. I don't want to say that like DJ Moore's ADP is lunacy, but like I mean wide receiver 20 is so, it's so aggressive on DJ Moore. And honestly, I thought his ADP was aggressive last year when he was just like, oh, he, because remember there was like a gap between him and Rome Odunze and certainly like the rookies last year as well. And it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. I feel like I like DJ a lot. I'm actually still encouraged that he can have a nice year for Buffalo, but I think wide receiver 20 is like paying up for it. And I just do feel like his name value has carried a lot more weight than what he's certainly put in the box score of late. And I even think like what he's put on the field the last couple of years. I like his fit in this offense. I think he can be good, but to me, Boone, he is not one of the guys I'm considering as a possible finalist for this exercise.
Yeah. Despite what I said before the start of the segment there, that there are a lot of guys on this list that I want to talk up and that I want to consider as candidates, he is not one of them. So I think we can move on.
Yeah, we can move on from him. Not a bad pick this year, but I think there's a lot has to go right for him to beat wide receiver 20, and I'm just not 100% convinced that that is going to happen. I do think this next guy, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver 21, I think definitely can beat this wide receiver 21 ADP. I'm honestly surprised that it's here. In certain best ball drafts, he goes much higher than this. He should be going much higher than this. I love Ladd McConkey. I just put together his reception perception profile. Very encouraged how that's going to map onto Mike McDaniel's offense. But Boone, where are you at with Ladd McConkey as a potential this year's George Pickens candidate?
Very interested, though I almost feel like he's too good for this. And maybe it's because, yes, the ADP is fairly high, sort of at the higher end of it. But yeah, this is a really interesting one. I feel like so much conversation has occurred with this offense, and we've done a lot of it talking about Mike McDaniel being there as OC and the, you know, improvements to the offensive line, the interior of the offensive line, and getting those star tackles back, all that sort of stuff. And it's been focused, at least for me, a lot on Omarion Hampton, a lot on Justin Herbert, but McConkey is the clear best receiver in this offense. And you think back to, like, he's only one season removed from that rookie year, 82 catches, over 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns. That was enough to make him a top 20 fantasy receiver. And it was enough to make some people believe in him so much that they would risk their life by potentially eating a pen. I won't mention any names, but people were very, very strong on this guy for fantasy last year. And I think now it's going to come back around where this potentially is going to be the season where we see him take it to another level. You look at the rest of the pass catching core, and Quentin Johnston is probably also underrated for fantasy right now. Like, I think he could have a really good year. We saw him have some really good stretches last year, and people are just kind of like forgetting about him. But there's not a lot of proven guys in this passing attack other than McConkey, and depending how you want to look at Johnston, right? Like, you look at Trey Harris. I really like him as a player, but he's got a long way to go before we're trusting him as a real life or a fantasy asset. You look at Brennan Thompson, very quick player, but he's not going to command a ton of volume, a rookie speedster. At tight end, I think Aronde Gadsden might be a little bit overvalued by people. He had a really good month, and there's some potential there, but now we got David Njoku to also potentially work in and eat some touches there. So I just think that you look at this offense and you say, yeah, Omarion Hampton to me is a slam dunk for fantasy. Who's that guy in the passing game? It's Ladd McConkey, and there is a huge ceiling here. I think the only reason that I'm hesitant to make him one of the finalists is I just feel like he's too good. He doesn't deserve to be amongst this group. I feel like he's already established himself, but he's coming off a down year, so I suppose we can consider him.
You know, he had 789 yards last year. Like, it would be a nice bounce back for him to get to, yeah, anything George Pickens related. I honestly don't want to really consider him a finalist, Boone, because one, I think he's like the easiest bounce back candidate to spot this year. And to me, like, he fits more in the mold. And I know I'm like picking nits on this, and, you know, this is just stupid. But I honestly think he fits more in, like, who's going to be this year's Jaxon Smith-Njigba title. Exactly. Like, he fits better into that category. The third year leap. Also, so many of the variables that are present here in terms of, like, the team going to heavier personnel packages. Keenan Allen being gone is kind of akin to, like, DK Metcalf being gone here. Like, a big target commander leaves. You go to an offense that's a little bit more conducive to one guy hogging the targets, which that's like one way that Ladd can thrive here. Like, we showed the reception perception charts where how much success he has in the dig and out routes. Like, that's where JSN was just eaten last year out of these heavy personnel packages. The Chargers added a fullback. They added multiple tight ends here. I do agree with you that Quentin Johnston is underrated in fantasy this year. I actually think, like, he still gets too bad of a rap for how his rookie season went. Like, he's a pretty solid receiver at this point. So I don't think he's like a bad kind of bet, but I don't know that it's like that much more crowded beyond that outside of like interesting role players. But the other out for McConkey, by the way, even if, again, I don't think he makes sense as like the George Pickens here. What if Justin Herbert just goes like nuclear this season, right? What if in a super efficient offense, he just throws for, you know, 45 touchdowns or something like that, has a, you know, fringe MVP. See, I know people are like, oh, Justin Herbert, he doesn't win the playoffs, he's dating a pop star, whatever. Sure. But okay, like, if he just goes crazy this year from a touchdown standpoint, that's another way that like Ladd can really thrive.
Yeah, I wrote a dynasty buys last week, and normally you're looking at guys who are like buy lows, but I wrote up Herbert as a buy high. Like, I still don't think he's valued correctly in terms of what he could potentially be with the way the scenario is set up for him this year and all the changes and the positive changes that have happened there. I also think there's been some quotes recently from Mike McDaniel about how they want to get the ball out quick this year. Who does that favor? That favors McConkey, right? That could be another way that he's just getting a ton of volume. So yes, I think it all just lines up for McConkey being someone that we are absolutely in on for fantasy, but who maybe it feels weird to name him a George Pickens type for this season, just because I think he's too good and maybe almost like too obvious for this.
Yeah, if we were, again, if we were doing it this year's Jackson Smith and Jigba, even though I don't think he has like maybe that ceiling because that's like just too aggressive, I think that McConkey makes sense for that. But I feel like we kind of did that segment 15 times over the course of the offseason already. So if you'd like that,
yeah,
go check out those segments there. Okay, so that's where Ladd's going to fall into. But we will consider some more candidates for this year's George Pickens. We will get into those guys right after this. All right, we're back. We're continuing to roll through our candidates for this year's George Pickens here on our first edition of Flip the Script. Our next guy here, Justin Boone, one of the ones you fought to include in the segment here, Terry McLaurin, wide receiver 24. The variable for him is it is a new offensive coordinator, David Blough, got himself a big fat promotion from assistant quarterback coach all the way to offensive coordinator here. I guess, hey, I'm excited about Terry McLaurin this year, but you wanted to fight for him to be included in the exercise, Boone. Tell us why you're excited about Washington wide receiver Terry McLaurin.
Well, I get the concern about him and why his ADP might be a little lower than what we saw a couple years ago. You know, it's his age 31 season. He's coming off the lowest output of his career. It was just a bad year. And recency bias, that's what's in people's minds. But it was really just a bad year across the board for the Commanders, right? Jaden Daniels was hurt a bunch of the year. McLaurin had the contract issue that he goes out, he misses seven games. It just was all around bad. But everything's looking up in my mind now, right? He doesn't have a ton of target competition there. I really like Antonio Williams. I really like Chigakonkwo. These guys are more like sleepers for redraft. These aren't proven commodities. We have Deebo Samuel. He's out of the picture now. We have Zach Ertz. He's out of the picture now. We have a new offense there that I think is going to be really exciting. David Blough talking about moving Terry McLaurin around the formation. I know a lot of new coaches come in and say that sort of thing and it doesn't happen, but we've also seen this happen on a bunch of teams now. We know the NFL is a copycat league. I think there's no reason why they wouldn't do this. Makes complete sense to me. And if you look back, we're just 1 year removed from 87 catches, over 1,100 yards, and four scores. He was the wide receiver 14 in fantasy points per game in that first year with Jaden Daniels when Daniels broke onto the scene as a rookie. So I think we have a lot of things pointing in the right direction here, Harmon, for McLaurin to go from being drafted as a fringe low-end wide receiver two to potentially putting himself back in the conversation as a wide receiver one. And I think that fits the mold. Aside from going to a completely new team, which is what Pickens did, I think the situation is really setting up for him to have a better scenario, a better environment, and a much, much better fantasy season, and something that's going to resemble that 2024 campaign and not the terrible year we saw from him last year.
Truly, my only pushback to you on this is like, are we sure Terry McLaurin is not too good for this exercise, right? Like, he had a wide receiver 14 finish. You mentioned it. Bunch of touchdowns in 2024. And yeah, the only reason he fell back last year, I would agree, is it obviously his injuries, Jaden Daniels' injuries, but also just like, it was going to be a down year for Terry McLaurin because he's one of these contract holdouts. Like, we've just seen this now at the wide receiver position. There's just these guys who this happens, which, by the way, we talked about George Pickens. It's at least, I guess, worth, you know, considering, like, is he going to be one of these guys too? Yeah, it's problematic, Boone. So my only I want to keep talking about Terry McLaurin. My only question is just like, do you think he might be too good to be included here?
I will accept that. There are four guys left that I think deserve to be finalists. We're only picking three of them. So if you want to veto this one, I will allow it. But kind of like Ladd McConkey, we could walk away from this one saying that, you know, at the round 4-5 turn for McLaurin right now and what he could potentially be in this offense this year, another slam dunk pick, another guy that everyone should be targeting for fantasy, and where you're getting him, he doesn't have to be your wide receiver one. You're getting him as your wide receiver two, your wide receiver three in that range. And he's the kind of guy that I think could swing your season if he has another year like he did 2 years ago. And that's what I'm projecting for him this year.
Yeah. Let's not completely rule him out as a finalist, because this is the rules of the game here. We don't have to make that decision right now. We just got to get the three finalists when we vote on three finalists. So I don't say we have to rule him out here. I just, if he gets ruled out, it's only because he's too good. And that's why I love this ADP at wide receiver 24. It's one of the best values on the board right now. Easy slam dunk. Again, the only concern for him would be injuries to him, injuries to his quarterback. And he has a sneaky older receiver, but I don't think we saw signs of decline last year. And you mentioned this, Boone, like David Blau saying he's going to move him around more. And yes, all new coaches say that, but he is going to move him around more because nobody moves their receivers around less than Cliff Kingsbury. Like, and this is not, obviously this is what I track. I put this out a few, there's more guys in the database now, but I put this out for my skewed alignment prospect article on reception perception. At the time, this was like mid-April. I have 535 NFL player seasons in the full history reception perception database. Just four of them have taken more than 70% of their snaps from one outside receiver alignment. Those four player seasons: 2021 DeAndre Hopkins, 2020 DeAndre Hopkins, 2015 Nelson Aguilar, and 2024 Terry McLaurin. Three of those are Cliff Kingsbury seasons. I haven't even charted Terry McLaurin for 2025 yet. I bet you he's going to be that same bucket. So, yeah, Terry's going to move around more. He's going to get more advantageous matchups. He should be able to consolidate targets. He has a good proven quarterback. And like on that consolidated targets point, we were just talking about it during the break. There's a warrant out right now for Brandon Ayuk's arrest for speeding. So, like, he's the guy that people expect to be on this roster. We'll see, baby. What I know what we're going to see is a lot of Terry McLaurin targets. So it does sound like we are both in lockstep here, that we will be ahead of consensus on wide receiver 24 for McLaurin.
Agreed. And when it's all said and done, we'll see if he's in the mix. But it feels like maybe McConkey and him will miss out for being just too darn good.
Yes, I would agree with that. But let's get to our next candidate here, and that is Jameson Williams, wide receiver 26 ADP. His variable is a new offensive coordinator, the great Drew Petzing, one of the many fantasy boogeymen across the internet. But yeah, he's got a new offensive coordinator. It's kind of, I don't know if it's the greatest variable in the world. I like Petzing, but I wouldn't say like, oh, it's that big of a change, because Dan Campbell is going to be kind of the same offense. But talk to me about your thoughts on Jameson Williams here.
This is one that I don't think people are paying enough attention to. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just not dialed in with where the public perception is on him. But it feels like him going at wide receiver 26 is a very nice value and puts him definitely in the running to be the guy here as the next George Pickens, even though, yes, not that much has changed, but we're allowing him to be in the conversation here. I remember when he came out, a lot of people saw the speed and they thought, okay, this guy's a deep threat. And I remember writing him up at the time before the draft and saying, like, no, there's a lot more to his game. He is not just a deep threat. And he had the weird, you know, the injury coming out at the end of his college season and, you know, his final college season. And then he, you know, doesn't really have much of a rookie year. So it was like a weird start to his pro career. But last year, we really started to see it from him. He finishes the wide receiver 18 in fantasy points per game on the year. But in the second half of the season, after the Lions week 8 bye, the wide receiver 9, he was averaging 14 fantasy points per game, more than 14 per game. And I'm cheating a little bit there because Amon-Ra St. Brown, he had a game where he missed the majority, he was banged up. So that's factoring in a little. But James did average more than Amon-Ra St. Brown during that final stretch in terms of fantasy points per game. So yeah, he kind of already showed, it was only for half a season, but he showed he could be a top 10 receiver, same way that Pickens did it over the course of a full year, right? He showed that he could do it. And I see no reason why that couldn't happen again, or at least he comes close to it. All it might take is just Amon-Ra St. Brown to be a little nicked up, but that's exactly what we saw for Pickens last year and Lamb. So I think this is a really good one. And regardless, another guy that I think people should be targeting, because he's shown us a pretty good ceiling here as a wide receiver too. And you're getting him at a wide receiver 3 value in drafts right now.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. And I actually think this makes a ton of sense as a candidate here. like, we know very much George Pickens wise, like, we know he's good. We know he is a volatile player. Pickens was obviously like kind of that volatile X receiver type with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was very much just like pure X receiver with the Dallas Cowboys. But shoot, even for Jameson Williams, like, you just laid it out perfectly there. He is a very volatile player. The first and second half splits kind of show that he's going to be up and down. But what if you just lean into one of those seasons where he's running pure all season long? I think that's totally possible. My one concern would be that there are a lot of mouths to feed in this offense, whereas with Dallas, like, it really was, and again, to go back to the data from the start here in the 12 games that CeeDee Lamb played, it was 26% targets for CeeDee Lamb. It was 22.5% targets for George Pickens. Nobody else higher than 15%. I think that Sam Laporta, probably too good for that. I think, you know, like, Jahmyr Gibbs, probably too good for that. Even Isaac Tesson, I don't know, he's going to have a bunch of targets, but he's going to get into the mix here. The way that I think this works, though, for Jameson Williams, Boone, is if the Lions' defense is really bad. And they have some injuries. Brian Branch banged up. Kirby Joseph is still dealing with some injuries. Cornerback play kind of up and down. There's definitely lots. There's some good players over there. It could go one direction or another. But that's how it worked out for George Pickens, too. We haven't mentioned that in the variables here, that, like, the Dallas defense being atrocious was a big reason why they had so much passing volume. So I do like Jameson Williams as a potential candidate here. Do you feel good enough for him to be a possible finalist?
Yeah, I really do. I really think he should be, in terms of also, like, Pickens being good, but maybe people don't realize just how good he is because he hasn't had, like, that absolute blow up campaign. And really all it might take is Amon-Ra St. Brown to miss a decent chunk of games and we could see him do it.
Yeah, he makes a lot of sense, like, in that exact variety there. And I agree with you. Like, I think J-Mo at times has been kind of up and down, but I really think he's gotten better and better every single year in isolation, which is exactly what I said about George Pickens last year, that there's proof that he got better every single season with the Pittsburgh Steelers here. So I like it. I think he will probably be one of our finalists for this. But that is going to do it for us here on the Yahoo Sports Network. If you're watching along with us on YouTube, though, we're going to take our final break of the show. When we come back, we're going to run through the rest of our candidates for this year's George Pickens. We will get into that right after this. All right, we're back. We're continuing to roll through our candidates for who is going to be this year's George Pickens. And we've got a few more to run through here before we vote on the finalists. This next one, Boone, I got to say, I think might be my early favorite, and that is Jalen Waddle. New team, obviously, is the new variable. And the ADP, like, I was like, we got to give producer Colin a drug test. Like, is he, this can't be correct, this ADP put on here. But no, verified per internet sources, wide receiver 27 ADP for Jalen Waddle. Dude, I'm way higher than consensus on Jalen Waddle. Where do you have him ranked? Like, where are you at with Waddle? Cause to me, I was like, this is crazy, but maybe I'm the crazy one. So where are you at with Waddle?
I have him ranked. I was trying to look up the specific ranking because I don't know it off the top of my head. I know I have him as a low-end wide receiver, too. How high did I move him up in my latest update? Wide receiver 21 is where I have him. So significantly higher than this. And I don't want to spoil the end of the show, but I think there's a good chance that he is going to be the winner when we finish it off. He's been really productive. And we talk about, like, a player who's talented, who maybe people don't realize just how good he is. Waddle also fits that mix, right? And he's coming out of a situation where you can question the quarterback play. You can question, you know, who else he's playing with. There's a lot of things going on in Miami that kind of caused things to go south last year and in the last couple of years. And now he's going to a better offense. He's going to an offense that's going to throw the ball a ton. Bo Nix led the league last year in pass attempts. So there's going to be volume there. And he's stepping in as the number one guy, right? He doesn't have to deal with a CeeDee Lamb type. He doesn't even need Cortland Sutton to get injured or miss time. He could just step in, be that guy, take over, and have a huge fantasy season and be a fantasy wide receiver one. So I think you have to be very excited about him as a guy who's already shown us he can produce, right? Over 1,000 yards in each of his first three seasons. Over 900 yards and 6 touchdowns on that bad Miami team last year. So still had some production despite kind of everything going poorly there. And yeah, entering his prime, turning 28 this year, I really, really like him, Harmon. I like him for fantasy. I like him as potentially the next George Pickens. I want to get a lot of shares of Waddle on my teams this year.
Well, not that you would use my rankings, because you're the rankings guy here, Justin Boone. But if you're using my ranking, let me tell you what, you're getting Jalen Waddle. I have him as wide receiver 12 this year.
Wow.
You don't have
okay.
to. You don't have to. Obviously, don't draft him at wide receiver 12. But I want you to get Jalen Waddle, which is why I've ranked him this high. I think there's a couple different things going on here that why I think he fits so perfectly into this exercise. Because one, the changing variable going to Bo Nix, who, as you mentioned, led the NFL in pass attempts last year, is just so significant. The 2025 Dolphins ranked 32nd in plays per game, 31st in seconds per play, and 30th in neutral dropback rate. Like, not only was there questionable quarterback play, and you can think whatever you want about Bo Nix, but as long as he's healthy, which I guess is something to at least consider, there's been some mixed reports on the ankle and everything like that. That's definitely not something to just yada yada here. But yeah, there is a clear quarterback upgrade from what was going on in Miami last year. But also, the volume upgrade is massive too. The Broncos were 5th in plays per game last year, 12th in seconds per play, and 6th in neutral dropback rate. So it wasn't even just like, oh yeah, they were in they led the NFL in pass attempts because they were in a lot of these like overtime fourth quarter weird game scripts, but they were trying to throw that football a lot. And the other part of is, yeah, man, I agree with you. Like, Waddle, people clearly don't realize how good he is for him to be wide receiver 27 in ADP. I mean, for one, he was awesome in reception perception last year, 77th percentile success rate versus man, 81st against press, despite the fact that he played just a lot of X receiver, which he's not going to do here in Denver because of the presence of Cortland Sutton. But even like efficiency wise, he's 8th in first downs per route run with wide receivers of 200 plus routes last year, 12th in yards per route run, 11th in successful plays. Like, he's a highly efficient wide receiver. Obviously, a good player is Jalen Waddle. I think he could be great if things break right in Denver. And yeah, Cortland Sutton's great, and he's gonna stay in his role. I think these other guys are like interesting role players, not like target commanders when you look at the Pat Bryants, Troy Franklins of the world, etc.
And really nothing from the tight end position. Like, I'm not worried about Evan Ingram. No. Like, maybe Justin Jolie, the rookie, will come on at some point, but I'm not expecting that to happen right away. And even if it does, I'm not expecting him to get a ton of volume that's going to factor into a guy like Waddle. So yeah, it's a great setup for Waddle this season. And maybe as the summer goes along, that ADP will adjust. But normally right now, like we talked about at the top of the show, like, sometimes best ball ADPs right now are a little more accurate than they are elsewhere. And even best ball ADP has him at wide receiver 25. So we are both much higher. You a lot higher. But I love hearing that, because I definitely think there's a chance and a path for him to do that. And it doesn't require a lot of, you know, bells and whistles and jumping through hoops like we're talking about with some of these other guys for it to happen. It could just naturally be. He ends up being the wide receiver 1 on his team, and that makes him a wide receiver 1 for fantasy. So very excited about him this year.
Yeah. I mean, very much like George Pickens last year, I said he was the guy I won in every single draft. I want to get Jalen Waddle in every single draft. So put that on a quote graphic. There's some positive news here for you from me on Jalen Waddle. Okay, next one here, Christian Watson, wide receiver 30. I'll admit we are sort of kind of cheating the variable on this, because it's the same quarterback, it's the same team. But I do think it's a pretty significant variable here, Boone, that for the first time in a minute, the Packers wide receiver room is not this big cluster of guys, right? Like, Dontayvion Wicks moves on, Romeo Doubs moves on. I think there's a chance we could have a pretty clear-cut three-receiver set of Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and Matthew Golden, and then obviously Tucker Kraft at tight end. Where are you at with Christian Watson, and do you think he makes sense for an exercise like this?
I really like him, have him ranked much higher than this, but I kind of look at him and I say, like, didn't he just do it last year? He was the wide receiver 16 in fantasy points per game. Like, he wasn't far off. He finally had that season where he didn't get hurt, where he was able to just come out and show us what he could do for a very long stretch. And boom, there it is. He is that guy. He has that upside. He has the splash plays. He has that affinity for the red zone. It's all there. For him, it's really just a matter of staying healthy. So that's kind of why I look at him and say, well, on top of the fact that not that much has changed other than a couple teammates being gone, it feels like we're cheating a little too much making him one of the guys. But if we're talking about somebody who is being drafted much, much later than where they could actually finish and who has a chance to crack that top 12, he's in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, I really like him as a potential candidate here, but I agree we're kind of cheating a little bit because of the variables, but I don't think people are counting that enough with all of these Packers receivers, really, that it's not going to be this big rotation. You know, we talked about this last week that like Josh Jacobs' situation is one to monitor, of course. I just kind of think they might throw the ball a little bit more this year anyways. Like, I'm not sure how good the defense is going to be. Jonathan Gannon, Micah Parsons is banged up, obviously, coming into the season. Again, if Josh Jacobs misses time for whatever reason, like, can they really establish the run with, like, Chris Brooks, Marshawn Lloyd, and, you know, maybe some street free agent that they add? I don't know, man. I feel like there's just a chance that there might be more both raw volume and like target consolidation opportunities for this team. And when we just look at this room, I really like Jaden Reed. I've been a longtime fan of Jaden Reed, but I personally think he can play in two receiver sets, but the Packers have just never done it. I still want to draft Jaden Reed as wide receiver 41, but he would be roadblocked in that scenario. I don't know if you have a strong take on Matthew Golden. I don't, honestly, really. So to me, Watson's just the guy that if someone's going to really I think Reed has the talent to explode, and I want that on the record. But I think just Agreed. Like what we have with the usage for Watson and what he showed last year, I think he's got the talent and the opportunity if somebody's going to explode from this wide receiver. But I am curious your thoughts on that and Matthew Golden.
Golden, I haven't taken much of. I think where they're being drafted, it makes sense to grab pieces of everybody in that passing attack. But for sure, Watson and Reed seem to be the two more obvious candidates. And Reed, we've also seen him do it. We haven't seen him do it for a full season. Mm. We've seen him do it for more stretches. But he's had high-end fantasy output for big stretches of time, going back to even his rookie season, right? So he's a guy that it just needs to click there. He just needs to get a little more playing time. And all of a sudden, we could talk about him being somebody that is an automatic fantasy starter. And I mean, I have the stats. Like, we could go back. You look at that rookie year, wide receiver 23 as a rookie, scored 10 total touchdowns, had 119 yards on the ground. And he was only playing 56% of the Packers snaps that year. And he got that done. The next year, he comes back. He starts really strong. He was averaging wide receiver 14 fantasy stats through the first 9 games in 2024, increased the playing time to 66% of the snaps that year. And then after the week 10 bye that season, his numbers just completely fell off. And I can't remember whether it was injury related or usage or what the reason was, but his numbers just completely changed at that point. So yes, he has shown it before. He's shown it for stretches. I'd love to see him get the opportunity to do more. And he's somebody else that I'm definitely targeting in drafts, but Watson has fully proven it more recently. And he seems like the most obvious one to be that number one guy in the offense. I'm not that worried about Golden being anything more than sort of a boomer bust type and more of a contributor in the offense, even though he was a first round pick. I just didn't see much from him last year, Harmon, that gives me a lot of faith that he's going to come on this year.
Yeah, I don't think he was awful last year in isolation. Like, his reception perception profile, like, it wasn't, oh my God, this guy can't play. It was just like fine. It was okay, which means like maybe he can take a leap to next season and be even better than that. That's obviously totally possible, but we didn't get like enough from him, I think, just watching him. Now, maybe he has a more clear role this year. He's a little healthier. That's totally possible. But to me, yeah, I would prioritize it. Watson. And to me, I think Reed could outscore Watson. You mentioned the playing time. Like, that's why he was so volatile in that year, because like 60% of the snaps is just not enough. Like, we need him up to like 70-80%, something like that. If we got that, I think he could be the guy. But right now, I know Watson is going to be on the field, and he was just so much better last year than he's ever been before.
And Tucker Kraft is putting out all kinds of clips of his rehab, and it looks good. And we think that he'll be out there this year, but that could be the other variable. I think you briefly touched on it, right? Like, the idea that if Tucker Kraft isn't himself at the start of the season, there's another way that we could see even more going to the receivers and another sort of change that might help us justify Watson being one of the finalists potentially.
Yeah. And the answer could just be draft Tucker Kraft again. Like, I think that could be the answer to the wide receiver question in Quagmire.
I'm sure once again, you and Tyson, I will be doing that, no doubt.
I would say so. I'm still iron grip on my Tucker Kraft dynasty team. That is 100% the case here. All right, last one group to consider here. I think Watson may be a fringe finalist for us, but we'll consider that when we get to it. But last group to consider here, this is kind of a little bit of a duo. Marvin Harrison Jr. / Michael Wilson, essentially the Cardinals wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver 32 in ADP. Michael Wilson, wide receiver 40. I will admit that I wanted to include these guys because I've got something to just rant about here, and I'm apologizing in advance to Boone and the entire audience. But before I get that off my chest and whatever, Boone, please tell, what do you think about the Cardinals wide receivers as potential finalists for a, this year's George Pickens type of situation?
I don't think they really belong in the conversation, to be honest. I would be shocked if one of these guys ends up being the guy who ends up being the George Pickens this year. I've said my piece on the show about them before that I wonder if the injury situation went a different way and if we saw Michael Wilson get hurt, whether it would have been Marvin Harrison Jr. that absolutely exploded in the second half of the season with Jacoby Brissett just throwing the ball all around the yard. But it's totally different this year, right? We have a new coaching staff coming in. We have a new offense. That changes things. We presumably will have better health, so we could see Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Michael Wilson all out there fighting for targets. And in that scenario, at least in the old offense, Michael Wilson was the one that just kind of fell by the wayside. And we saw Marvin Harrison Jr. be good, but not great for fantasy. And we saw McBride be good and really good, but not quite the elite producer that he was in the second half of the season when Marvin Harrison Jr. was out. But really, Harmon, when I'm on the clock and these names are there, all I keep thinking about is the quarterback situation. I like Michael Fleur right. coming in. I like the potential for the offense to get better. And yet I just keep picturing watching games on Sunday or any day of the week, because the NFL basically has games every single day of the week now moving forward. But I keep thinking in my head, do I want to watch more Jacoby Brissett, who threw the ball a lot, volume was great, but still wasn't like a great quarterback. And Carson Beck, I don't have a lot of faith in. And Gardner Minshew is a journeyman who I don't think is going to help these guys get where they want to go fantasy-wise. So that's kind of where I'm at. I've shied away from drafting, you know, the two receivers really because of the uncertainty, but also just because of that quarterback situation and Brissett being upset with the contract. We don't know when he's going to show up. There's a lot of things that make me want to go, you know what? I'm just going to step away. I don't want to get involved in this. And that leads me to believe that I don't think either of these guys are going to be the George Pickens in 2026.
I don't think either of these guys are going to be the George Pickens of 2026 simply because like it's way too crowded here even for that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I mentioned that Jake Ferguson was the big loser when it sounds mean, but you know, the big loser in terms of target share when CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens were on the field together. That's obviously not going to happen for Trey McBride. I also don't necessarily think it's going to happen for one of these wide receivers either. So yeah, to me, I think that they don't really count for this, but I don't mind taking shots on them at ADP because I think both these guys are good. And I think the offensive change is going to be good for these guys. Now, if I would agree, if Jacoby Brissett was like in camp and like learning the offense and the whole deal, I'd feel a little bit better about it, although he's a veteran and he should be fine. But it is just kind of that situation is odd. I feel like it's going to end with just, hey, we gave Jacoby Brissett like a $5 million bonus and like, cool, there, let's keep it moving. But I kind of wish that had happened by now. I wish the Cardinals could just be normal for 5 seconds, Boone. That would be nice, and that would make me feel a little bit better about that. Don't you agree? Like, if Brissett was just in camp, that would make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, and the situation's just getting worse, right? Like, Myles Garrett showing up in the division. Like, things around them and the teams around them are making really smart moves, and the Cardinals just don't seem to quite be on the right track. But hopefully they'll get there soon.
Okay, where I do think, and this is where my rant is going to come in here, because this, I said this to James Cobb several hours ago when we taped our show. There's like 5 or 6 things that are just driving me crazy in wide receiver world right now, and which is why I certainly need to take a vacation because my social media habits are so bad. I can, which we're going to get into, and I am going to be off for a few shows here because I am going to be on vacation. So luckily, I'll be able to clear my head of nonsense like this driving me crazy. But I have to get this off my chest here somehow, or I'm going to explode. Yesterday, it was driving me crazy, Boone, watching like the quotes get aggregated about Mike LaFleur says that Marvin Harrison Jr. is in the Davante Adams role and Puka Nacua, that's Michael Wilson's role. He never said Puka Nacua role. He never said Davante Adams role. And like Theo, I think Theo does a great job. We're showing his tweet on the screen here, but like that's not, I don't blame him for this. I blame like the aggregators who take this. And also the big thing that was this honestly wasn't even driving me crazy about this, but was driving me crazy, Boone, was like, oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. And if you, people in the comments want to light me up for just like not letting it go on Marvin Harrison Jr., that's fine. Take me to task, whatever. That's cool. But what, just like, well, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. just in the sacrificial X receiver role. It's going to stay the same. And I kind of, I'm not going to say I blame myself for this, Boone, but maybe I do. Maybe I should blame myself for this because I like not like being an X receiver is fine. It's actually good to be an X receiver, like the outside on ball play. Not every X receiver is a sacrificial X receiver. Okay, so I think we've jumped the shark on a term that I came up with. All right, so I want to maybe apologize for that. That's part of my rant. But the other part of what I want to say here is that when you actually look at what Mike LaFleur said about Marvin Harrison Jr., it, I think, is the more important thing than he's in the Davante Adams role or the Puka Nacua role. So I'm just going to, Boone, if you want to go and, you know, get a drink during this or do anything else, that's totally fine. I wouldn't blame you. You want to mute me? I also think that's fine. But I'm going to read from, this is Coach Speak Index in his Discord. Greg does a great job. And if Greg, I'm giving out your information here live on the air, I apologize, but I'm going to read it because it's really good. This is the exact quote from Mike LaFleur on this quote. On Marvin Harrison Jr., as more of an X receiver or slot, his profile would be that of a typical X receiver. They come in all shapes and sizes, but just kind of that lengthier body that can play on the outside. But what's unique about this system? Not just the Arizona Cardinals, but the systems that run something similar, you can move them inside and out on a whim, just in terms of our formations and our motions and all that kind of stuff. You don't want to say that you can protect them by bringing people inside, but you can just utilize their skill set in different ways. So he is our X receiver, but you can move him around where sometimes he is and sometimes he's not. On Harrison and Michael Wilson, how they complement each other. This is Michael Ford. Like I said with Marv, typically with our X receivers, let's just say Davante Adams last year and Julio Jones in Atlanta. Didn't see any Julio Jones quotes, by the way, in the aggregation. Interesting there. Those typical X guys aren't necessarily just next to the core very often in terms of playing in between the tight ends and in between the tackles. This, you look at that, would be more of the Z receiver with Michael Wilson, who's a little bit more of a compact guy. Those guys are in a little bit more comfortable playing in the C, in the B, in the D areas where you can insert for safeties. When Buda Baker comes down, you're going to have one or two of your receivers that are going to handle that stuff. You think of Puka Nacua. Yeah, all that cool stuff Puka does with the ball in the air, but it's really all the cool stuff he does without the ball. So that's where you kind of see some of that same stuff from a guy like Michael Wilson. Like the Puka role he's outlining there is like as a blocker. So all these like fantasy accounts outlining like, oh, he's going to be in the Puka Nacua. It's just, it's insanity to me. And the, like the key thing there, back to the Marvin Harrison Jr. part of this. And I do apologize, but I got to get this off my chest or I'm going to lose it. Like the idea there, what he's outlining, all the motions and everything. It's like he can be an X receiver at the snap of the ball, but because of the motion from a guy like Kendrick Bourne, he's like, you chart him as the X, but then he becomes this like slot receiver. That's the key here, is the motion there. In addition to the fact that like Marvin Harris Jr. last year ran a go route, according to True Media, on 21% of his routes, same as his rookie season. Davante Adams is like 16%. So that's the lack of sacrificial part of it. It's the route tree change, an 18% in route rate for Davante Adams. It's like way less than that for a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think the system is like everything that Mike LaFleur outlined there. It's good news for Marvin Harrison. I saw it being taken as negative. I don't know if any of this is going to work out for fantasy, whatever. Obviously, freaking Carson Beck, Jacoby Brissett, the whole deal, whatever. But I maintain that Marv is a better player than he's credited in isolation. And I love the usage that was outlined for both of these Cardinals receivers. Cause I do think like Michael Wilson could be pretty cool doing some Puka Nacua stuff. Not just like, he's not going to be Puka Nacua, but some of the blocking, some of the toughness, some of the in-breaking routes. Cause Michael Wilson is a dog too. And I think these guys will be interchangeable, which is essentially what Mike LaFleur said. Nobody cares about the Cardinals. Nobody cares about anything I just said there, but there you have it. Had to get that off my chest.
That is not true. I think a lot of people will be interested in hearing that. But you did talk for a long time. Grab yourself a drink. Take a second. And never apologize for going ISO ball, because I feel like I do that all the time where I'm talking forever and I see you just kind of looking at me going like, when is he going to shut up? So it's fine. Always go off. Whenever you got something like that, please do it. I will say too, and it goes back to the point that I was making at the top about Harrison, right? That if the injuries had gone a different way, we might have seen him have the much bigger season, because before he got hurt, he was the wide receiver 28 in fantasy points per game. He had five top 24 finishes in his 10 games before injuries kind of derailed his season. So he was good. He wasn't great for fantasy. I think that's where I keep coming back to. Is the potential still there for him? Yes, he's young. He could get better. He's getting a new offense. Eventually, maybe he will find a quarterback of the future that he can pair himself with. I think the potential is still there for him to be good and maybe even reach a fairly high level. The problem was the expectations coming in were so high that a lot of people feel burned, and any chance they can get now to put him down, to paint him in a bad light, they seem to do it without wanting to leave that door open for him still reaching some sort of high in his career. What I keep coming back to is I think he could be a good receiver. I think he'd be a good fantasy asset. I don't think he's going to be that superstar that people thought he was coming out. But I will also say, Harmon, hats off to you, because I brought this up on the show before. People these days do not click on articles. They do not read the context. They just look at the headlines. They look at what's aggregated and they go from there without being able to form their own opinion on the actual quotes and the actual reporting. So everyone, what Harmon just did there, please do that. Do it with fantasy football. Do it in politics. Do it in every phase of your life when you see headlines and you might go, hey, that's a really strange headline. That's surprising. Maybe I should click the story and read through to see if that's actually what they meant. Harmon just did the work for you there, but I think that's a very important life lesson to always go through and read and make sure you're forming your own opinion on stuff.
Yeah, a little media literacy lesson there. We didn't know we were going to get that here from Justin Boone, so I love that. So yeah, moral of the story, just to close the loop here before we vote on our finalists, two things that I would just say, like, yeah, one, you mentioned all that context. I can't say it enough. Definitely subscribe to Coach Speak Index. Great job beyond the aggregation stuff. You follow him on Twitter, of course, but I would encourage you, just like I do, because I just read his work live on air, subscribe and get the Discord access, because you can get this stuff on every team. So that's great. That's going to make you a better fantasy player this summer. Maybe we'll try to get Greg on one of the shows here. The other thing I would say too, just that whole 2024 class after doing the charting boon, man, all those guys were just so unlucky with injuries last year and weirdly like drops too. And I'm kind of ready to buy back in on almost all of those guys this upcoming season. So they will, I'm sure, be a course of conversation over the summer for us. But we have to vote on our finalists here for who's going to be this year's George Pickens. It's not going to be any of these 2024 drafted receivers. Who do you think? So Jameson Williams, Jalen Waddle, definitely two of our finalists. Terry McLaurin, Christian Watson. I'll let you pick who the third finalist should be here.
I think it should be McLaurin, just because Watson did it more recently. We saw him put up the bigger stats last year, where at least McLaurin had the down season that he can bounce back from, where Watson's going to be going from wide receiver 16 in fantasy points per game to a top 10 or top 12 guy. Doesn't seem like that big of a stretch where McLaurin, but I agree. They both kind of are, there's an asterisk next to both of them, whichever we include.
I'm with you. I think Terry McLaurin's a better player and more likely to have that kind of season. So I'm with you. Let's put him in as the finalist. All right. So rank them most to least likely to be this year's George Pickens. Give me your order of preference between these three.
I mean, I think because the McLaurin Watson thing, whoever that is, has to be third. So I'd have McLaurin third. I'd have Jameson Williams second, though I feel like he fits a lot of the criteria. And then Waddle has to be the guy for all the reasons we said, that he almost like to a T fits the Pickens situation in terms of changing teams and quarterback upgrade and more volume in the offense and all that sort of stuff. But he has one thing that's even better than what Pickens had, and it's less target competition. So I don't see how you can't be excited about Waddle going to Denver and what he could do this year. And I certainly think a top 12 finish is within his range of outcomes, and very impressed that Harmon is already ranking it like that, because that's a little more confident than I am about it. But that's another reason why people should have some faith, because if Harmon feels that way about a receiver, get on board, folks.
Well, I was right last year on Pickens, so I'm going to be wrong this year on Waddle. That's just how these things go. But no, I agree with you in that. It's only because Terry, and I'm going to rank Terry ahead of Jameson Williams, you know, from a draft perspective. But I think for this exercise, yeah, it's the order should be the exact order that you had it. I would have it this way as well. Jalen Waddle, Jameson Williams, Terry McLaurin. So our winner for this year's George Pickens. We don't even have to have Colin break a tie here. So the lack of power for Colin continues in this one. We'll see if he has to break a tie in future episodes. Our winner of this year's George Pickens, it is Jalen Waddle. Yeah, oof, wide receiver 12. I'm going to have to stand on business on that one. I'm going to have to stand on business to keep it all off season, have him be that guy. So yes, Jalen Waddle, we are going to be a pro Jalen Waddle podcast. He fits the bill so well. Just people do not understand how good this guy is. And that is the thing I want you to take away from this conversation. Before we go, I got to let you all know that the all new 2026 soccer pick'em game is here at Yahoo, just in time for the world's biggest soccer tournament. You make picks each round, earn points, and climb the leaderboard. You play solo, you create a private group with your friends, or you can join a public group to play with other fans, or you can even join our Yahoo Sports group to see if you can beat us. You can join at yahoofantasy.com/soccer pick'em. Folks, big news here, all right? Big news. I'm going on vacation. Clearly, after that little rant I had about the damn Cardinals. Dude, I ranted about Drake London's contract like 3 hours ago, too. So that's two rants in one day. Never been a better indication that somebody needs to get off the internet. That's the thing. I need to get off the internet. I love charting film. I chart film all day. No, I'm not burnt out on that one bit. I need to get away from social media for a little bit. So I'm going to be on vacation, which means it's Boone June, baby. That's right. We've got a branding campaign for these next few weeks on the pod, Boone. You are going to be doing the hosting duties, and you're going to be bringing in a ton of great guests. So very much looking forward to see what you do with the show while I am gone for a few weeks.
Yeah, reaching out to some friends in the industry who are going to jump on. Really appreciate the first three people I asked. They all said yes, and it's people that I've potted with for about a decade now, going back to my old show. So I'm excited to get a chance to do it again. And buddy, it's big shoes to fill, man. I had to go out and get some top dogs the industry here to come in for 3 weeks. And I'm excited that these guys stepped up. So yeah, can't wait to do it. Should be really fun. Excited for you to get some much needed time off, and that we will come back in the summer and we will get everybody ready for the season, man, together. And yeah, it's going to be another awesome year.
It's going to be another awesome year, no question. The question really, during Boone June, the question for the Boone Brigade, you know, your fan base, is are these shows going to be like 15 minutes long? Because that's the feedback that we get from the old Boone fans. This pod is too long. We hate it. It's way too long. So the question is, is Colin going to let you have like a 15 to 20 minute pod? That's the real question here.
I don't think we're going to be able to shorten them. If I had it my way, dude, my wedding ceremony, I was like, people do hour-long wedding ceremonies. My wedding ceremony was like 10, 15 minutes. I told the minister, let's shorten it right down. Let's get the basics. Let's get through it. And let's get to the ceremony and the fun, or let's get to the reception and the fun part, right? That's how it should be. But yeah, for this one, we are going to spend plenty of time, especially because the great guests we have coming on, we want to pick their brains and see what they think going into the season. So we'll get a good chance to do that.
Yeah, I love it. It's going to be great. And I'm happy to take some time off, even happier that we've got a great guy like Boone here to host the show in my absence. But yes, I'm going to be gone for the next few weeks. I'm going to be in Portugal and Spain, vacation with my wife, a little other things going on too. So very much looking forward to that. If you got any recs, by the way, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what I should be doing in Portugal and Spain, what to check out while I'm over there. A lot of different places. So very much looking forward to it. But in the meantime, this show is going to be back next Wednesday for Boone June. I mean, my God, what a great title for the pod while I'm away. Boone June begins. Until then, we are out.